Radio Prague News.
The Social Democrat Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said that a deal with the communists might be possible after this year's elections. Golden era hockey coach Josef Agusta has died at 70, and air pollution levels have improved in some parts of the Czech Republic. Social Democrat Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said that a coalition with the communists is a possibility following the next elections to the lower house in October. In an interview with the business daily Hospodarské noviny, he said that he did not expect a purely left-wing coalition to result, but a pro-European one with a social perspective. Sobotka added that ANO leader Andrej Babiš had not ruled out a deal with the Communist Party either. The Social Democrats have traditionally ruled out a coalition with the communists under their so-called Bohumín declaration. The Prime Minister said times had changed since that motion, which was adopted in 1995. The Czech Ice Hockey Association paid tribute to former hockey forward and national squad coach Josef Agusta, who died on Thursday at the age of 70. In 2015, the former coach, who managed the Czech squad during the so-called Golden Era at the World Championships from 1990 to 2001, when the team won the championship three times in a row, had been suffering from pancreatic cancer. As a player, Mr. Agusta won the silver medal at the Winter Olympic Games in Innsbruck. Air pollution levels somewhat improved in parts of the Czech Republic on Friday after several days of poor conditions. Six regions of 14, however, are still suffering from a higher concentration of dangerous particles, higher than allowed. Production at plants in Olomouc had to be scaled back. As a result, other regions affected are central Bohemia, Hradec Králové, Pardubice, Zlín, and most of Moravia Silesia. By contrast, restrictions were lifted in the regions of Ostrava and Plzeň. Most of the country was hit by smog beginning last week. A hepatitis A epidemic is continuing in the region of South Moravia. According to an official, six new cases were confirmed. All of the patients had come into contact with others who had caught the illness. The patients are from the Brno and Blansko areas. So far this year, there have been 24 new cases of hepatitis A registered. Last year, the overall number was 448. Liberec Zoo has lost a rare spot-billed pelican to bird flu. The female is the second specimen to die from the disease at the facility after a swan succumbed to the illness last week. A veterinarian at the zoo, Roman Šebestas, said the bird in question had died from the same strain, H5N5. Three other specimens of the spot-billed pelican will not be killed as the animal is endangered. Turning quickly now to sport in football, Sparta Prague suffered a debacle in the away leg of their Europa League tie against Rostov on Thursday night. Sparta lost 4-0, and after the 31st minute were down to 10 men after Ivory Coast midfielder Konate received a red card. It is the worst European defeat for the Czech club since 1981. Sparta will likely be playing just for pride in the return leg in Prague on February the 23rd. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. After many years out in the political cold, will the Czech Communist Party be part of the next coalition government? Škoda, the country's biggest car producer, is eyeing the world of electric and hybrid cars. And later we take you skiing to one of the Czech Republic's most popular mountain resorts, that's Špindlerův Mlýn. Well, that's coming up in today's programme. An unwritten political agreement about keeping the Communist Party out of top-level politics in the Czech Republic may be about to end. Shortly after the ANO party indicated the possibility of entering into a coalition with them following the autumn general election, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said his Social Democrats would also be ready to accept them in a broad coalition government with a pro-European and social perspective. Daniela Lazarová spoke to political scientist Jiří Peha about the implications of this development.
Well, I think that Mr. Sobotka has several reasons for this statement. The most important is that Mr. Babiš himself indicated some time ago that his Ana movement would not be totally opposed to governing with the communists or with the support of the Communist Party. And so I think that Mr. Sobotka is trying to preempt, because we may indeed, after the elections, witness a situation in which the alternatives will be Mr. Babiš with the communists or the Social Democrats with the communists. And so I think that in some ways Mr. Sobotka is trying to show to the Communist Party that Mr. Babiš is not the only possible bride.
The Social Democrat leader's position has not been very strong in recent months. Will this help or hurt him? Is the party ready to actually enter into an alliance with the communists?
It's difficult to say whether Mr. Sobotka's remarks about the possibility of including the communists in the government would increase the popularity of the Social Democratic Party. At the same time, it is true that the discussion about whether to govern with the communists or not is long overdue, simply because the Social Democrats already governed with the communists in some regions. And so the so-called Bohumín Declaration that prohibited a government with the communists is in some ways obsolete. So I don't find Mr. Sobotka's statements surprising. What I find surprising is that he's making those statements without any deeper discussion within his own party.
And what about the electorate? What about the public? Is the public ready at this point to basically accept the communists at government level?
I think that Mr. Sobotka is probably not making the statements about involving the communists in the government without some kind of background information that he may have from private opinion polls or from some surveys that the Social Democratic Party or he himself has at his disposal, simply because it seems to me that the public is no longer entirely opposed to the participation of the Communist Party in the government. It has accepted quite well the communists' presence in the government on the regional level, and in fact the communist government in northern Bohemia. So I think that in general the Social Democrats would probably not be hurt by what Mr. Sobotka said in the eyes of the public. The question that we have to ask is whether Sobotka means this as some kind of goal, strategic goal of uniting the left, or whether he, as I presume, made those statements simply to offer an alternative to what could be, in the eyes of many people, a much more risky alliance between Mr. Babiš and the communists, or Mr. Babiš and, let's say, Mr. Okamura, who has the extreme right party.
And that was political scientist Yishu Peha, who was speaking to my colleague Daniela Lazareva. Now, Czech car companies and the government have not hitherto been in the forefront of moves to promote electric cars, but now both appear to have changed directions. The government's now looking to back their rollout, and the biggest car maker, Škoda Auto, says a quarter of its production could be electric or hybrid cars by 2025. Chris Johnstone reports.
Electric dreams, or perhaps electric reality, could be described as the focus as the Czech Prime Minister and members of the government met with bosses of Škoda Auto at the car manufacturer's Mladá Boleslav headquarters. And they found they were largely reading off the same map and steering in the same direction. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka pledged stepped-up efforts on training and research to help the transition to new manufacturing and a driving future where greater use is made of digital technologies and driverless and electric cars. And bosses at Škoda Auto look to the not-too-distant future of 2025 when they expect to double production to more than 2 million cars a year, with around a quarter of those vehicles powered partly or wholly by electricity. Škoda board chairman Bernhard Meyer had already declared the shift to electric vehicles irreversible before Thursday's top meeting. Škoda Auto and its parent company Volkswagen is being driven by European and worldwide developments where diesel and petrol cars face restrictions or outright bans from city centres over the next decade. The Czech Republic is essentially a sideshow here. It represented in January around 8% of Škoda Auto's surging worldwide sales. But the car sector is not a sideshow for the Czech Republic. The total sector alone represents around 25% of industrial production and total exports, and in 2015 around 7.5% of the country's total wealth creation. So what's good for the car sector is often regarded as being good for the country. With regard to electric vehicles, sales in the Czech Republic last year are reported to be just 200. Part of the problem is their high price and worries about the thin network of charging sites. The Prime Minister says a 1,200-strong network of those charging sites should be developed by 2020, costing around 1 billion crowns. And other steps look likely. Jaromír Marušinec is chairman of the Czech Electrical Vehicle Industry Association.
Ano, rozhodně myslím, že když už i Škoda bude dělat elektromobily, tak to bude...
Certainly, I think it is very significant that Škoda will be making electric cars. Škoda Auto has the technology available either on its own or as part of Volkswagen. And Volkswagen is one of the highest-selling electric car makers in the Czech Republic. This should help the overall electric car industry sector.
He adds, though, that Škoda Auto is playing catch-up after being late to the game.
Škoda Auto is the last significant car producer that has not been producing electric cars. Hybrid technology has already been on the market for around 20 years since 1997, so Škoda Auto is catching up around 20 years on the rest of the world.
And that report was by my colleague Chris Johnstone. Now, in the final part of our programme today, Jan Wellinger takes us skiing.
Downhill skiing and snowboarding are immensely popular in the Czech Republic, and there are a slew of mountain ranges and resorts to choose from. Skiers can opt for hills like Ješked near Prague or go further east to centres such as Dolní Morava. But today we visit one of the most famous sites of all, Špindlerov Mlýn in the Krkonoše or Giant Mountains. We'll check out the ski hill, take a short tour of the town, and even bomb down a well-known sled track.
We freak, we burst, bursting from all angles. When I am standing
first, a bit of history. If you've never been to Špindlerov Mlýn, it's located in the northeast of Bohemia, right on the border with Poland. You'll be interested to know the original settlement served miners who worked in nearby ironworks, and the settlement was documented in the 16th century. It was in the 18th century that a clerical mistake in connection with the commission of a new church led to the town being renamed Špindlerov Mlýn, which means Spindler's Mill. Until then, the village had been known only as Svatý Petr, or St. Peter. And Špindlerov Mlýn referred to a mill which served as a common meeting point which used to stand in the town centre, and of course it belonged to the Špindler family. And that was the place where the mistake was made when the church was commissioned. Eva Filipová is a town hall official who told me more.
So I'm here with Eva Filipová, and we're standing in the very spot where it all began. This is where a famous mill once stood, is that correct?
We are in the place where the history of Špindlerův Mlýn started. Because from the beginning we had here three villages. One of them was called Svatý Petr, St. Peter. Afterwards the second one was Bedřichov, and the third one it's Lapská. We have these villages here also, but they are all of them called in one name, and this is Špindlerův Mlýn.
It has a certain ring to it that every Czech knows, and probably many visitors from abroad as well.
yeah, okay, you know, with the time being it become really famous, and it was actually a happy mistake because it's really special name, so this is like a family name and it's quite often here in Spindlerufnin.
So it's still alive, this bit of history.
Exactly, it's still alive.
Now we're standing here and it's a beautiful day, there's lots of snow everywhere, it's an excellent year so far in terms of the ski season. There's no mill here anymore though, no founding stones, nothing left from the actual building where the document was signed.
No, there is nothing left, you know, because the city changed in this year. This year we are talking about, this is 1765, so it's quite far away, and since that Spindlerufnin grew up so much. In the time when the mill was here, it was a reality, so it was nobody was thinking to keep it and, you know, save it for us.
Because we're in the Krkonoše Mountains, when did skiing actually begin here at Spindlerufnin?
Well, the skiing in general in Krkonoše began with Emperor Harach. He was like owner of the locality of Krkonoše. He was also owner not only Spindlerufnin, but also Harachov, which is today very famous city here in Krkonoše. And he brought from Norway ski. And we can say it was like beginning of the 19th century. So since that, the people start to try skiing. The first of all, it was only for citizens, for people who were going to the forests and who were making some job here in the winter. But because it was kind of special thing for the area, people who came from Prague, who came from big cities to make a tourism here, they wanted to try. And that was the beginning.
Over the course of the 19th century, Spindlerufnin was transformed into a resort town, and downhill skiing gradually grew in popularity. Of course, not least with the introduction much later of the first lifts, and the biggest advances came after World War II. Skiing's popularity grew in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in then communist Czechoslovakia, when it was very common for workers or employees and their families to make use of state-owned lodges for their ski week. And the last 25 years or so after 1989 saw changes in the sport and resort services yet again. Better equipment, much faster, more comfortable lifts. René Hronéš is a Spindle native. He grew up skiing on the local slopes since he was a little boy. He's also the marketing director at Ski Areál Spindlerufnin.
Spindlerufnin is known for its good quality skiing, for best snow conditions and for excellent service and excellent skiing industry services. We have over 25 kilometers of daily groomed slopes within the whole ski area. We have 5 chairlifts, from basic 2-seaters to the newest technology of heated, covered 6-seaters chairlifts. And we have 11 more lifts and T-bar lifts around the area. So it's a pretty big resort. It's the most slopes in such a small area.
There's a character to this place. The fact that it's in a valley is important.
As a town or the mountain village lays in a valley, so the skiing is happening on both sides of the valley. One area is called Medvědín, the second one is called Svatý Petr. The valley and the feeling of the little mountain village is very unique for the town, that when we shut down the lifts at 4 o'clock, it's not that skiers are jumping into the cars and leaving the valley. They are staying in the town, they are walking around, they doing après-ski fun and go ice skating, have a glühwein and just enjoy the time.
These changes that you've planned, what is the essence of those changes?
There has been some huge investments lately. It was over 3 million euros we invested into, not only into the I mentioned already, the 6-seater chairlift, but also to the snowing system to get all the skiing as soon as possible on slopes. But the biggest change that's going to happen, we believe in less than 1 year, it's going to be connection of these two areas of skiing, of connection of Svatý Petr and connection of Medvědín. The plan is, and it's not only the plan, but we are working on it already, is to build a huge parking lot, which is going to have on the roof bottom stations of 2 chairlifts. One is going to go towards Svatý Petr, it's going to have two new slopes coming back. And on the other side, on the opposite side, there's going to be a 10-people gondola lift with one new slope. So this way we're going to be able, from one point, which lays at the beginning of Spindlerhof Mlyn, we're going to be able to connect, like skiing-wise, both sides of the valley. We're going to get over 40 kilometers of slopes by the time, and it's going to be the most in Czech Republic.
We were talking a little bit before, and this pertains to this, about the very nature of skiing or winter entertainment, that skiing has changed, that what customers want has changed.
We see the progression of skiing the way how people enjoy skiing. In past years, everyone was choosing and was skiing on black slope because it was difficult, it was fast. And now it's changing. People are enjoying more red slopes and more blue slopes, which are easier, which are not that dangerous. It's quite connected with the equipment and with the development of equipment for skiing, because the new skis with carving designs, they let people enjoy skiing better in lower speed and in less danger conditions than before. So it's good for us. There is less danger on the slopes, and that's why all the slopes we are going to build, it's going to be red and even more blue.
Final question. The professional side of this hill, the kind of races that were run here in the past or will be run here in the future?
There has been a couple World Cup events of skiing. We've had the World Cup of Women, I believe, 4 or 5 times here. And we are happy to announce and to get the permission to run another World Cup event for women slalom and parallel slalom in March 2019. And besides this, there is a big tradition of snowboarding World Cup events, which is happening every March, including this upcoming March. It's called Snow Jam. It's part of the World Cup series. It's this year, it's also the last year where like top level riders can qualify for the Olympics. So we are expecting the best snowboarders will attend this event, and we are expecting that many people will come to see.
And so that is something certainly to look forward to in the month of March. And René Hronesh of Ski Areál Spindlerhof Mlyn was also kind enough to provide us, that is me and Radio Prague colleague Till Janzer of our German language section, with our own ski passes so that we could try out some of those runs. What more could anyone ask for?
So Till, you know Spindlerhof Mlyn well. You've been here before?
Yes. I've been here several times, like 10, 15 times, I think. But last time might have been like 5 years ago, yeah. Something like that. And now it's my first ride this winter, so I like to enjoy it, and it seems perfect, like the snow is great.
We've done the first, 100 meters or 150 meters or so, and the snow, exactly, it seems perfect right now. So I'm going to try to record a bit of the sound also as we go down.
Great.
I'll see you down there. Skiing down Spindlerhof Mlyn.
Over the course of the afternoon, we spoke to numerous skiers and snowboarders taking advantage of the great weather. One was a gentleman by the name of Neil Anderson, who was at the ski hill with his wife and daughters.
What brings you over here to Spindle?
The skiing, and then I have a friend who lives over here. He is married to a local girl.
Is it the first time that you've been here?
This is the second year in a row. This is the second time we've come. This year, snowing, skiing a lot better than it was last year. It was very warm last year. But very nice place. People are very friendly.
Is skiing in Northern Ireland popular?
Skiing is popular, but we have nowhere to ski. We have some hills, but no mountains.
And what are other sort of resorts in Europe or areas that you've skied?
Austria and France. I skied in Canada and America.
Okay.
And Scotland, but Scotland's very cold.
Right. How does it compare? I mean, obviously it's not the Alps, but this is still a very nice resort.
It's small. But there's obviously scope for expansion. And all the advice that we received was come now before everyone else finds out about it.
I'm Charlotte Anderson, and it's been very foggy in some places, but it's been lovely. So it has this nice and powdery and fresh snow.
You guys chose a good time to come because usually the spring break starts for the different schools around the country, and it hasn't started yet, so you've got the place to yourself, basically.
Yeah, it's very good. The lifts aren't that busy, so it's good, and you get up quick.
Okay. All in all, then, an excellent experience for them as well. And, of course, skiing is far from the only activity Spindlerufmlin has to offer on the day. Colleagues and I also took a wild 3-kilometer long sled ride, which knocked our socks off. And if you don't believe me, listen to this. The track traversed the road at 3 points where sledders had to stop, and we spoke to a group who had just come hurtling down the track at speeds which most would be wise to try. Here are their impressions from their day at Spindlerufmlin.
It's really amazing. Like, it's a beautiful experience. It's amazing.
Is it faster than you expected?
Yeah, yes, it's so fast.
Extremely faster than we have expected.
It's good.
Where are you from, if I may ask?
Egypt.
From Egypt?
Yeah,
we're from Egypt.
What are your impressions from the ride?
Very nice. Good.
It's far. It's far. Yalla, salah.
Have to.
I think everybody here agrees that it's faster than we expected.
Yes. Yes.
Tell the truth, how many times did you lose control? Because you're all white.
Many times.
That report is by Jan Vellinger, and you can see a video from that reporting expedition on our YouTube channel. If you've got any comments about today's programme here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook, or you'll also find us on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.